you to take the hymn book now to number 376. Here is a song, Take Time to Be Holy, part of our scripture reading today and part of our sermon. And this particular song that God has brought to our attention in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Take Time to Be Holy, 376, 376. Thessalonians ends in chapter 4 with the coming of the Lord. And so what a better song that number 500, When the Roll is Calling Yonder. And will you stand, please, as we sing this song and then remain standing for prayer after the ending of the song. Number 500, numero 500.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, our Lord, the High Priest, into the throne of grace with a bold confidence that you hear our prayer. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to open the doors again at Bethel Baptist Church and to proclaim the message of the gospel, that there is hope in Christ Jesus, that there is power with our Lord, that he is able to save the uttermost, as the book of Hebrews says. We thank you, Lord, for those who are visitors in our midst. We thank you for those Spanish people that have come for the first time into our midst. And we welcome them, and I know you welcome them too. And we pray, Father, that they too may understand that we love you and that we have only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, our Lord. We do are in debt to you, Father, because you answer prayer as we study today in Sunday school. We know that you have given us faith, not only faith to believe, but faith to grow in the kingdom of God. Father, what can we do without you? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so, Father, we saw a woman that believed in you because you have given faith. We saw a man in the synagogue that believed in you because you have given them faith. And Father, through our lifetime, we saw many people believing in you because you have given them faith. And we are grateful. And so we pray this morning that perhaps there is someone here in our midst in need of faith. And Father, I cannot give it. No one can give it except you. You are the one who produced that faith. You are the one who give us that sparkle of light that make us to believe. Oh God, may today your Bible as is read, may the choir as they praise you, may this service be instrumental for you to channel your power so people may believe. Father, we pray for our missionaries. They are all over the world. Fred and Carol Lewis, Carl and Ruth Knott, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, and Ruben and Irene Zacher, as they are visiting their family in Argentina and visiting some relatives. We pray, Father, that they may spend a good time, and that when they return to us in April, they will be able to pursue again the work that they started right there in Lodi, California. Father, we pray for those who are listening over the internet, that they too be able to grasp Jesus, Lord and Savior of our life, that they too be able to believe the Bible because of your grace and your power. We pray for those listening over the KKMC radio station, and we pray that you bless them as they hear the whole service, and that they be part of us as they pray for us and we pray for them. Father, we pray for those in the tape ministry, as they listen to tapes, as they pass the tape to others, that they too may understand that our vision is to pass Jesus to people. We want people with Jesus because that's what counts. And so, Father, we are eager to do anything to spread the gospel in our community, beyond our community, and the uttermost part of the world. And, Father, we are video recording our service with the purpose that people can borrow these tapes and not seeing the church, not seeing the people, but seeing Jesus, the one that we preach and we love so much. Lord, thank you for giving us so many gifts and so many opportunities. Help us to grab each one of them and to make the best we can in each opportunity. And Lord, you know that our property is getting crowded. Our Sunday school classes are full, and we are in need of a place. And so, Lord, you open the door. Maybe we saw a door in the left. Maybe we saw a door in the right. Maybe we saw a door behind us or in front of us. You have a door. And we want your door, Lord. We don't want our door. We don't want our building. We do not want our position. We don't want our location. We want your location. And in the same way that you give us this place, I'm so trustful that you're going to give us another place where we can expand the gospel and present to people Jesus, the high priest, the Lord of lords, and kings of kings. Father, I'm thankful to your people because they support the ministry. In this church, I don't have to beg for money. In this church, I don't have to ask the people for another step. They do it with a whole heart. Oh God, how gracious you are. You have blessed our congregation. And our congregation loves you. And that's what they give. So now, Father, as we conclude the prayer, bless the giver and bless the offering. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from back of the church. At this moment, we have the offertory, and the people in the church are giving the offering, and they're having a wonderful time as the piano plays. But I want just to offer to you once again our church. In these few minutes that we have between the prayer and the choir, I want to say that our phone number is 408-778-2595. I repeat it again. 778-2595. If you have a need, here we are to serve you. If you have a problem, here we are to listen. And so please call us. And if you need me in a really emergency, I give you my secret number, 408-390-0998. We want to help you. We are here to serve the community regardless where you live. And I know that some of you listen in Los Altos, some of you listen in Carmel, some of you listen in San Juan Bautista, wherever you listen to us. We are here to serve you with all our joy and with all our heart. May God bless you. Let us join the service in progress.
Everybody that that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of us standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw
and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 873. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 18. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, our Father, we praise you and thank you that you have not dealt with us in wrath according to our transgressions, but have dealt with us mercifully and graciously for the sake of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have answered for us that question, who can abide the day of his coming and who shall stand when he appeareth, that you have caused us to stand by your grace and the merits of your Son. We pray that by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we would always consider your will for us, which is our sanctification, that we would conduct ourselves by your righteous standards. We take comfort in knowing that when our Lord returns, we can say, even so, it is well with my soul, because of his finished work at the cross. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless his exposition of your word to the hearers, both here and on the radio, that it would bring comfort to the believers who know you and conviction to the unbelievers who do not know you, that you would bring them to a saving knowledge of the truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you very much. And just for the knowledge of our control room, I will proceed to take the microphone from the pulpit out. Microphone. So there will be no extra noise. Will you please be kind to turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which I conclude this month exposition in 1 Thessalonians. God's willing, in the coming month, we're going to grab some chapters in the book of Hebrews in celebration of Jesus' resurrection. We're going to talk about Jesus, the greatest of all, the high priest, the king. The sovereign Savior. That's on April. But today, our lesson goes into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as a conclusion of our studies in Thessalonians. And I said at the very beginning that this is a pastoral letter, a letter that was triggered by the visitation of Timothy, as you well know in our studies. And now this pastoral letter is a reply in some words of some thanksgiving and some words of commendation. And so in chapter 1, we have words of commendation. And I want you to know that chapter 1, verse 3 is the only verse in the Bible that a church have all the gift God gives, which is God's love, God's hope, and God's work. And so this is a tremendous church, and Paul have words of commendation. Then they have words of reflections about Paul's ministry. Always people talk about the pastor and what suit he wear, what shoes he have, and what car he drives. And so the Apostle Paul reflects upon what he did as a servant of God with an open mind to these people. That's chapter 2, and it was a gorgeous chapter to know. Chapter 3 was an ecclesiastical chapter where the apostle reminds the church about God's priorities, what you need to know first and do first in our life. Now we come to chapter 4. In chapter 4 is exhortations about the walk of life. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, exhortations about the walk of life. And I plan to go verse by verse through the whole chapter. And so I hope that we all grasp the message of God in his word. In verses 1 to 8, he's going to talk about exhortations about walk in holiness. Walk in holiness. And how you do that? Okay, let's see it. Verse 1. He said, you need to please God. Furthermore, which is the word finally, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the word of Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. walk in holiness. Number one, the first thing that you need to do, put in your mind and your computer, if you're going to walk in holiness, is I am going to please God today. And look to the left in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. The church, the Paul writes to the church of, Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. Not 1 Thessalonians, but Colossians 1 and verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good word, and increase in the knowledge of God. And so the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians words of walk of life. And the first section of the walk of life, verses 1 to 8, is walk in holiness. How do you walk in holiness? Number one, verse 1, you please God. And set that in your mind in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. You need to please God. In order to please God, you need to read the scripture to find out what God, does God want. And when you read the scripture and you find out what God wants, then there is a battle between you and God in your heart. The old man and the new man, said the book of Ephesians. And the old man wants to live in the old way and the new man in the new way. So number one, you please God. Number two, verse two, you obey God. Look at verse two. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We obey God. Remember John 14:15 says that if you love the Lord, you what? You obey his commandment. So number one, you please God. I want to please God. Number two, I'm going to obey God. Number three, I'm going to abstain from sexual fantasies. Look at verse 3. It's just amazing. It looks like written for today. For this is the will of God. Don't buy any book about the will of God. They're right here. For this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, your separation from the world, that ye should abstain from fornication, from sexual fantasies and sexual liberties in your life. You should abstain from that. And the people in Paul's time, they have it. You have it. I have it. We all have this drive within ourselves. And the Bible said, this is the will of God. If you want to walk in holiness, you abstain, period, from these sexual fantasies. Verses 4 to 5, glorify God. Look at verses 4 and verse 5. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification, in separation, and in honor. And look in verse 5. No impassion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. And so walk in holiness. Number one, you please God. Number two, you obey God. Number three, you abstain from sexual mischief. Number four, you glorify God. You surrender your body. Is that right, Pastor? Well, move your Bible to the left, to Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and verse 2. And look what the Bible says. You surrender your body. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body, that you surrender your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be not an imitator of this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. See? If you read the Bible, you're going to renew your mind. I taught the Spanish lesson today that will be a challenge for them. If they will read the book of Proverbs, every day a different chapter. Today is 26, they will read 26. Tomorrow is 27, they will read 27. When the month is over, you start all over again. And you do this for your lifetime. And finally, some verses of the Bible will be embedded in your mind. And that's what verse 2 said, be no imitators of this world, but be ye transformed. And how you do that? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so here we have walk in holiness. Please God. Remember that. And that's against the television advertisement. When they want to sell a car, he said, you deserve it. When they want to sell perfumes, which I'm attracted to, they said, now especially Raquel's not home, I can put perfume. So you can, you know, because she's allergic, see? And so they said, you deserve this. Everybody's going to smell good. I got terrible, you know. Please God. Obey God. Abstain from sexual fantasies. Glorify God. Surrender your body to God. And then he brings a theology, a theological point. Verses 6 to 8. Election, because you and I are saved by election. Election is not an excuse for sin. Look at this. Verse 6 to 8. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians 4:6. In any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath no call as, that's the word election, God hath no call as unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. I think I have here. I'll raise it here. All right. For those who listen, I just raise the microphone. Don't get crazy. Just make a noise. For God have no call us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. When God call us, that's the way we get saved. The women in the story today, God called her, so she believed. Jairo, God called him, so he believed. God call you. If you are saved, God call you. You maybe cannot tell us when, you maybe cannot say how, but God call you. Now, not only he called you to be saved, look at what the verse 7 said, he called you to be clean. And so the election of God is not an excuse for uncleanness and sin. The fact that you are elected, that you are a beautiful child of God because God took you in his hand, doesn't mean you have the freedom to do what you want, said the Apostle Paul. All right? So here you have a chapter that speak about the walk of life. Walk in holiness. I repeat them. Verse 1, please God. Verse 2, obey God. Verse 3, abstain from sexual fantasies. Verse 4 to 5, glorify God by surrendering your life to him. And verses 5, 6 to 8, do not use your salvation as an excuse for sin. Oh, I'm saved. I can do what I want with my life. Don't do that. Because if you do that, I put a big question mark about the election of God. Number 2, walk in harmony. First, walk in holiness. Now, number 2, verses 9 and 10, walk in harmony. Look at what the apostle says. Verse 9. The more we live like God, the more we love. He said in verse 9, but as attaching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. This is obvious. It's not necessary for me to write to you. For ye yourselves are taught of God. You got it? The psychologist said, oh, your grandfather do not love. Now you know love. Look at what the Bible said. Because you are taught of God to love one another. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. See, this is very important. We need to walk in harmony. It is nature that determines action. Believe me, it is nature that determines action. Because a fish has a fish nature, swims. I just tried this morning. I opened my fish tank and said, get out. It's still there. Don't move. So I said, I do it again. Can't hear me. I said, an Arab. Hapra. Still there. So the fish is no Arab. The fish is a fish. Cannot get out. My wife will think I'm crazy, but some people think God is crazy when he talks about divine nature and human nature. And so a fish is a fish and swims because a hawk is a hawk, flies. Try yourself to fly. Go on the top of a big building here and jump. So easy. Now the point. Because a Christian is a Christian, he or she loves. You love people. See, the Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been shed in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And people can hurt you really bad, but you have no excuse to love them because you have the nature of God. How many times we hurt God, don't we? Actually, when we sin, we hurt God, but he keeps us loving. And so walk in harmony. How do you walk in harmony? Because you're a Christian, you can love. Not because your grandfather was a lover and your mother is a lover, you can love. And some people tell me, oh, you're a Latin, Latins are lovers, that's why you love. No, that has nothing to do with this crazy psychology and psychiatry with Jesus the devil. I tell you something, the good part is what God said. God give you his love, now you have the nature of God, now you can love your wife, now you can love your husband, now you can love your children, now you can love the brothers in the church. Walking in harmony, the more we live like God, the more we love. Verse 10, Paul was not exhorting them to acquire something they did not already possess. Look at verse 10. And indeed, ye do it for all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. You know what the apostle said? Never is enough love. If you love your husband, tomorrow, love it just a little more. Sometimes loving your husband means to put up with him a little more. I'm a husband. I know what takes. Love your wife. Sometimes it's buying something else. See, when I want to buy something, I tell Raquel, oh, you need a clock. So I buy a grandfather clock. She says, I don't need it, but you like it. You know, you like it, and you bought it. Come on. When we love, we please the other person. And so the apostle said, I'm surprised. Verse 10, he said, I know you love. I'm not asking you something new to you. You know this in verse 10? Let me read it from the New King James. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. I know you have love. I know you love the other guys. But there is one thing you need to do. What, Paul? Love more. Children, your parents love you and you love your parents. But you know what Paul will say to you? Love more. Love more. Love more. And so to live in harmony is to love. Is that right? Verse 9 talks about love the brethren. Verse 10 talks about increasing in love. So we love the brethren. Each brother and sister is different. Thank God. They're different. They are not a copy of the other. They're a copy of the image of God, but not a copy of me. And so therefore, we love each other. And we love each other to death. That's the key. By these they shall know that ye are my disciples. John 13. By these they shall know that you are my disciples. If you love each other. All right. Counsel number one, walk in holiness. Counsel number two, walk in harmony. Verses 11 and 12, counsel number three, walk in honesty. Walk in honesty. Verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 talks about a consistent life. Look at verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Wow. And that ye study to be quiet. Wow. And to do your own business. And to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Now that takes the welfare department out of business. You work with your own hands. All right? And so the apostle did, remember? He was a tent maker. And so verse 11 is live a consistent life. Live very peaceful, that's quiet. Live a private life, mind your own business, live your private life. And be a dependable person, said verse 11. He said, your wife need to depend on you. And you go and you work and you provide for your family. With your own hands, said the apostle. A dependable person. So that's honesty. Verse 12, a decent life. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. I mean the Gentiles that have no Christ. And that ye may have lack of nothing. A decent life. Do not lose your testimony in front of unbelievers. Do not lose your testimony in front of unbelievers. How is your credit payment? Be sure that if you have credits, you pay it 10 days ahead. Actually, my daddy will say, there is two things very important in your life. Buy a house and pay it off. Never rent your wife. Just keep your wife for yourself. And what this I mean, give peace of mind to your wife. Get a roof, pay it off, and cool off. That's what God will give you. And if God give you something else, that's fine. But be sure you have a roof and pay it off, he said. And here's what God said in verse 12. God is saying that you walk honestly, that the people from outside, they look to you and they said, you know, I don't know about this guy. He's different, but he's okay. The testimony and your work and your school, young people in your school, your neighborhood. Everywhere you go, we need to have an honesty that shines. And then verses 13 to 18, he said, walk in hope. So how? What is the counsel? The walk of life. And in this chapter, this is not all what the Bible demands in the walk of life, but at least in this chapter, here's the walk of life. Number one, remember, walk in holiness. Don't fool around with your life. Number two, walk in harmony. Exhibit love as the key to your life. Number three, walk in honesty. Then nobody can put a finger on you. And number four, walk in hope. Now, I'm going to detail this. Verse 15 tells me, I go to verse 13 in a minute. Verse 15 tells me, that this is what God teaches. I have read a book done by the Reformation, maybe the year 1700, and they said, this is the Reform position. I have no position. You know why? Because this is God's position. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the church of Antioch, no, by the word of the church of Jerusalem, there are only two churches at that time, Antioch and Jerusalem. What did he say? For these we say unto you, by the word of Kurios, the Lord, the general, Kurios. What I'm telling you is not my opinion. What I'm telling you is not my church stand and confession. It is not what, this is God's opinion. So it's going to be dogmatic. And it's going to be strong, because if I do less, then I sin. This is God's opinion. This is the hope of the believer. Number one, verse 13 and 14, the dead Christian will raise again. Let me read it for you. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are no dead, but what the Bible said, sleep. How beautiful. that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14. For these we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or get ahead of them which are asleep. So doctrine number one, every believer who we call die, and Paul and God said is went to sleep, is going to be raised again. And is going to raise again before those who are alive at the time of the Lord coming. That's not the doctrine of Baptist Church. That's not the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church, who happen to believe the same. That is not the doctrine of anybody. That is the doctrine, verse 15, of the Lord. Curious. Every believer is going to be resurrected. No judge. Resurrected. Thank you, Lord. My daddy is going to be resurrected. My mama. I was a mama boy. Were you a mama boy, Brother Prince Giacomo? I think he was, because I knew the love of our brother for his mama. It's good. It's good. It's good to have a love that goes beyond. Nobody can understand what a man loves for his mother. A devotion. We're going to see it again. That's what my brother was desperate. I remember the days his mother was alive. He was desperate to bring the word to mama so that he can see it again. The believer is going to be resurrected. Verse 15, the Lord is coming again, and in spite of what the government said. Look at what the Bible said. For these we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not get ahead of them which are asleep. And remain unto, you got the letter? The coming of the Lord. And so, verse 15 is saying that the Lord Jesus is coming again. This is not a dream. This is not the position of the Baptist. This is not the position of the Pentecostals. This is not the position of a dreamer. This is what God said. Jesus is coming again. Praise God. Verse 16. The coming of the Lord will be seen by everybody. Now I'm going to ruffle some theological people who think that the Lord will come first in a mysterious way. In a pilot. Have you seen a movie done by Dr. Billy Graham? The pilot will be on the plane and he called the rapture. He will be taken off and nobody know what happened. No. Look at what the scripture said. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The word shout in Greek is the noise of an angel. With a shout. Hallelujah. With the voice of archangels. And look at what trumpet. Not the brass quartet of Berkeley University. Look at here. With the trump of God. Now, there is a verse in the Bible that said that everybody will see him. So put one hand in Thessalonians and go with me to Revelation chapter 1, the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 1 tells me, everybody will see him. Revelation chapter 1 in verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7. So therefore, here is what I'm going to say. Number one, the dead Christians will rise first. Number two, the Lord is coming again. Number three, the coming of the Lord will be noticeable. Everybody will see it. There will be no secret. Verse 16 again, that the dead believer will rise first, as we talked before. And the Lord shall descend from heavens, verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians 4, with a shout, with archangel voice, and with the trump of God. And the very last part of the verse said, and the dead in Christ, those who have preceded us and went to sleep, they will be raised first. Then verse 17, that the living believers will be raised with the Lord. Then, verse 17, We which are alive and remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What are you talking about with judgment? What are you talking about coming to earth to reign on earth? Are these people don't read English? Look at what the Bible said. With them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You got the picture? We're going to be forever with the Lord. Once He comes, you don't have to worry anymore. Your life will be pure as Christ's life, thank God. Your life will be holy as Christ is holy. Oh, thank God. And we will have a place in the kingdom of God in heaven forevermore. You don't have to come to this earth and mop the floor with mop and blow like I did last night. No more of these things. You don't have to vacuum anymore your house. You don't have to worry about what curtain you're going to put on. You're going to be with the Lord forevermore. Verse 17, the body of Christ shall be forever with the Lord. Forever. Now that is hope. That is hope. It is not the doctrine of the Baptists. It is not the doctrine of Roman Catholic Church. St. Augustine laid out this beautifully, but had nothing to do with this. He was a man of God, a pastor who had the light of God about these issues. Calvin picked it up later on and brought more concern. But you read this and you understand it. It's so simple. The dead Christians will raise. The Lord is coming again. And the coming of the Lord, everybody will see them. The dead believer will be raised first. And then the living believers will follow. And then the body of Christ together. The dead and the living believers will meet together with the Lord in the clouds and take you off to the new Jerusalem of Revelation 21. Forever and ever. No more the problems of this earth. This earth is gone. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Now, what do we do with this truth? Look at verse 18. What should we do with this truth? Look at verse 18. Comfort. Comfort. With these words. Verse 18. Comfort with these words. Another translation will be encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other. Brother, you got a problem? Yes, don't worry. When the Lord comes, gone. And in heaven, your problem is not going to be there. No. It's going to be gone. Comfort with these words. I love to visit cemetery. Do you? I love. Because I write to read the epitaph. I love to read the epitaph of believers. And so when I preach in Tuscarora, Pennsylvania, there is a cemetery, dates 1745. The tombs are a little twisted and so on. And I tell you, I love to read the gravestones, and I copy. And in this American cemetery called Mount Bethel, I read this epitaph. Stood before a gravestone, big letters, said this: pause, my friend, as you walk by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me. No, I like it. And so there is a burial office of the state over there, and I comment the beautiful gravestone, and I said, did anybody make a comment about this? They said, yes, sir. And they look in the records, because you can go over there and refute what the man said and so on, and look in the records, and they found this comment from a visitor. He added these words. Remember what they said. Please pause, my friend, as you walk by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prefer, my friend, to follow me. And this guy wrote these words. To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went. Isn't that beautiful? Is that beautiful? Go to the graveyards and put time in the district's attorneys and ask for the libraries. This. So, my friend, before our soul is come and sin, let me ask you a question. What kind of hope do you have? Do you have a hope of the Bible? Do you believe that once the Lord comes, you will be with him? Whether my professor used to say, you go subway or airmail, but you go to God. Are you sure? Which way are you going when the Lord comes? Are you going to the final judgment where God will judge the living and the dead because they have rejected Christ? Or are you going with the people of God to live forever in the kingdom of God? We Christians have hope. So therefore, walk in holiness, walk in harmony, walk honestly, and walk in hope. And you will please the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful chapter. And thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Oh God, touch our life. That we may walk in sanctity of life. That we may walk in harmony. That we may walk in honesty, and that we may exhibit a hope beyond this world. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, please, as we close for prayer. We are so delighted that you are here this morning. Once again, I remind you about our potluck dinner. You are invited to stay. We eat together and enjoy a moment of fellowship on the last Sunday every month. And this is this Sunday. And before I pray, I give you two good news. One, my daughter is on the steady improvement. And there is not anything bad. We have to hold her back in bed. That's all. That's mama's work. And God's willing, by the 10 or 11 or 12, Raquel will be back in our home. And our mission in a very difficult moment of our life has been fulfilled. And we thank the Lord for that. And thank the Lord for the church and Lake Bible Baptist Church in Lake Oswego for their support and the great help they have done to Raquel and to Miriam. And yesterday I went again for my final examination with the cardiologist, and I passed all the tests. He told me, goodbye, don't see you anymore. You are healthy. I said, can I claim work and get going? No, you cannot claim anything. He said, you go to work, man, go to work. So thank the Lord that he has healed my body, and I'm had to remind myself of the same discipline that I did for 4 months. I better keep it up if I want to keep myself healthy. So, Lord, mighty God of heaven, we thank you today. We thank you because you have given us hope by your word. We will not spend eternity in this earth. We will spend eternity with you. Father, I pray that someone have believed not, that you may touch their life, that they may see. And Father, for us believers, you gave us tremendous recommendation today about the holiness of walk, about the harmony of our life, about honesty. It's easy to learn theology and believe theology. It's hard to practice the holiness of God. Oh God, give us victory over ourselves so that we may honor you with our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Will you be seated, please? We want to do something special today. Let me get my Bible. Usually I'm in fault because the Bible have a timetable for babies to be presented to the Lord. And in the Gospel of Luke, we have a presentation of the Lord Jesus in chapter 2 in the Gospel of Luke. And there, before I do the presentation this morning, and I pray for these babies that I never have presented to the Lord, I read you the commandment of the Lord that comes all the way from the book of Leviticus. He said, and when the 8 day, I'm reading Luke 2, verse 21, and when the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, according to Leviticus 12, exactly at the 8 days of a birth, a child need to be circumcised. And so at that moment, the name was given. The Bible do not authorize the parents to give a name to the child until the circumcision take place. And so that's how Roman Catholicism, they give another name when they baptize the baby. They take him from the book of Leviticus. And the Bible said his name was called Jesus. Now that's very unusual too, because his name should be called Joseph. But remember, the angel told Mary and Joseph that his name should be called Joshua or Jesus, as we call it. And the name was given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And then verse 22 said, now when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses, that means 40 days after the delivery of the baby, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So there were two presentations. One was the circumcision at the 8 days, and then the presentation at the 40 days, when the mother was purified according to the law of the book of Leviticus, then the baby need to be presented to the Lord. And they really brought the baby before the presence of God. So I am in fault and apologize to many parents, but I'm not in fault with Mikey Kong because I got him right in time. Is that right? So we're going to ask the Kong family to come in with Mike Kong. I asked them to come. And either both of you and come in. All right. And here, and she too. All right. Christina too. All right. See, sorry for you, girl. I apologize. Much apologize for you. All right. Okay. Now, I guess the Dulilos have two babies to be presented. That they come in. Here is Benjamin and Thomas. All right. To be presented to the Lord. Right here. I guess the Noriel's one. Your boys are right. Okay. Good. And her too. Okay. All right. Okay. Is anybody else that we do it en masse today? All right. I don't want to be any more guilty before the Lord. All right. Is anybody else that I pass in your life and you have not dedicated your baby to the Lord? Now this is a double dedication. Means we dedicate the baby to the Lord and I dedicate you as members of this church to help these families to raise these children in the fear of God. Let's pray together. Father, here we are in your presence. And before me are the Dulilo family, the Kong family, the Noriel Jr. family. And they brought the fruit of their wombs to you. And they're saying, Lord, this is your children. You gave it to us, now we give it back to you. Use them as you please. And Father, before this congregation, I pray that each one of us be an instrument of righteousness in the life of these children. That we be an example to these children of what the love of God, the compassion of God is, so they may learn about you. We dedicate them to you today, in this very special occasion. Oh God, bless them, protect them in this evil generation in which we live. They be instruments in your hand. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Thank you, family. All right. God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Benjamin. All right. God bless you. All right. All right. God bless you, my brother. Okay. All right. All right. Now we're going to, let me see. The ladies need to tell me, will you check if the food is ready so we make a line and those, all right, for the food. Let me see. We're going to stand again and we're going to thank the Lord for the food and then you are ready to go. Okay, here we are. Lord, we thank you now for the fellowship. Bless the food and bless the hand that have prepared it. Bless the people as they come and participate in this feast of love. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, here we are. Ready to go? Ready? Los gorditos primero.